Welcome to the Light Your Heart with Hope podcast. We have been talking about mental health over the last few weeks in honor of Mental Health Awareness Month. And if you've been listening, you know that my mom and I have both dealt with our own seasons of struggling with mental health. And so we are very passionate about talking about it. And we just want to include you in it. And so we asked a couple weeks ago if there was anything that was on your heart regarding mental health and what you would want us to talk about. And so that's what we're going to do today and over the next couple weeks, is just talk about what's on your heart. And the truth is that these things are on our heart too. So right. I'm really looking forward to talking about all of this. And I just want to preface all of this by saying that we are not mental health professionals. We are not doctors or counselors, but we are here to share our experience with you, what we've been through and what has helped us. And we hope and pray that the things that we share help you as well.
Yes. And we're here to encourage you. And I'll be honest, it's hard and uncomfortable. It's hard, but it's not bad to talk about. Right. My mental health struggle. And I think that's the thing, is that so many people are afraid to talk about what they're going through. And so then they don't talk about it, and then it gets worse. So this is an encouragement from us to do what's hard, because the hard is important.
Right.
It's vital, in fact, to talk about your mental health, to talk about what you're feeling, talk about what you're going through. Find a trusted friend, counselor, whomever, that you can share these feelings with and express exactly what's going on in your heart. And, you know, we need to normalize talking about mental health. We still need to do that, even though I feel like people are talking about it more. In fact, there's a whole month for mental health awareness, which is what we're a part of right now. But still, even for me, you know, we've been doing this podcast for a while now, I still feel uncomfortable talking about my own mental health. But again, I'm here. I'm going to talk about it because I know how important it is. And just because it's hard doesn't mean it's bad. In fact, this kind of hard is good.
I love that, because the truth is I think a lot of people do feel uncomfortable about talking about their mental health. And I think it's because it's kind of the world we live in. It's been stigmatized for so long. And like you said, Mom, I do think that more people are talking about it, but we need to be talking about it without shame, without just fear. Right, exactly. And especially in the Christian community and in the church, it is so important to talk about it. And one thing that I think I've said in other episodes is that anxiety is not a faith issue. Ooh, depression, yeah, does not believe that you don't love God. It doesn't mean that you don't trust God and believe that He is who He says He is. Depression and anxiety are a part of this world. And even in scripture, Jesus talks about being anxious. And so I really think that that's something that needs to be said.
Right.
Is that if you are listening and you've been told that by having anxiety that you're not trusting God, that that's not true.
Or that you don't have enough faith.
Or that you don't have enough faith, exactly. And so let's dive into today's topic, though, because this is something I know I've struggled with, but one of our listeners shared with us just the struggle of climbing out of the lows that come with depression and anxiety. And if you've experienced depression and anxiety, you know how low it feels.
Right, right.
And when I read this comment by this listener, it reminded me of the verse. And it's in Psalm 23, and it says, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me."
David.
Psalm 23, 4. Yes, a biblical example of someone who experienced depression, who experienced anxiety. And just to give a little personal experience with this, when I was really in the depths of depression and battling daily anxiety and panic attacks, I felt like I was in the darkest valley.
Right.
I really did. It felt like I was in this valley and everything was dark around me, and I felt like I couldn't get out. And one of the things that I realized was trying to climb out on your own is what's keeping you stuck. Mm. When we are in the valley, we tend to try to climb our way out on our own. Right. And this question in and of itself, you know, climbing out of the lows, you can't do it on your own. Right. You're not meant to do it on your own. And I really felt like there were people in my life who saw me in the valley and they were there to reach their hand down and say, like, let me help pull you out of this. Or, you know what? They met me in the valley.
Right.
They came down. I literally am visualizing this in my head of an actual valley, that they walked down into the valley and said, I'm with you. I'm going to walk through this with you. Because this verse says, even though I walk through the darkest valley. Right. The truth is sometimes you're not meant to climb out. You're meant to walk through it because right. God has more in store in the through than in the out.
Ooh,
and the truth,
I love that.
we want to get out. And that's right. normal, is to want to get out of the pit of depression or anxiety. But it's not always about climbing out, but letting God climb down into the low with you.
Right.
He never wastes a valley that you're in. He will be there with you. And again, like the verse says, I will fear no evil, for you are with me.
Right.
God's with you in the valley. So I just want to start there by saying, if you are in the darkest valley right now, you're not alone. God is in it with you. And
he will never leave you
right.
there. He will not leave you there.
Right.
And when he's, like you said, he's either going to walk you through it or he's going to pull you out of the pit.
Right. You're not going to stay there forever.
You're not going to stay there. And there are so many examples, I believe, in Psalms where David does express his deep sorrow and anguish and fear and anxiety, all of the things that he's feeling in the pit or in the valley, like you said. And then, of course, we mentioned Job in many yeah. episodes. And I love Job and how much he is so vulnerable and so real and so honest about his feelings. And certainly he was in the pit of despair. Certainly he didn't even want to live. You know, he was in deep, dark depression, and I'm sure anxiety as well. But, you know, all that he experienced, I mean, you can't blame him. He's human. I can't even imagine walking through what Job went through. And yet, you know, at the culmination of his story, after God talks to Job, Job sees God for who he is, and he is so humbled, and his face is on the floor like, I thought I knew you, but now I really know you,
right,
you know?
Right.
And so, I mean, those are my words, of course, but this is nothing new. Depression and anxiety isn't new. And sometimes that's why I feel like I'm surprised that church culture doesn't recognize it, because it's in the Word of God,
right.
very clearly in the Word of God. I mean, Job didn't want to live. He wished he was a bird that he could fly away. I mean, what does that mean?
Right.
And he regretted the day he was born. You know, I mean, there are a lot of examples of being in the pit.
Well, and the amazing thing about God's word is that God gives us people in his word that went through the darkest valley.
Right.
That experienced deep depression and overwhelming anxiety. And God would not have put them in the Word of God unless he knew that we would also struggle with this.
Right.
God gives us these examples so that we know that it's okay to struggle, that it's a part of the world that we live in. And I love how David, especially in Psalms, how he is in such deep anguish and he talks about it.
Right.
He doesn't
yes.
keep it in. One yes. of my favorite, I think it's Psalm 13, but he says, how long, Lord? That is one of my favorite chapters in the book of Psalms, because he's so real with God. And that's what God longs for us to do, is to be real with him, to come before him and ask him, how long, Lord?
Right.
How long will you allow this to happen? How long will you allow the pain to endure? And what I also love about David is he always goes back to the truth. He always goes back to
right.
God and either praises him or tells God, like, I trust you. No matter what's going on, I trust you. I know that you are who you say you are. And another example, which really isn't talked about in the church, but Jesus, he wept when his friend died.
Right.
He wept when his friend died, and he knew that he was going to raise him from the dead.
Right.
He wept. Another example. when he was in the garden before he died.
Yes.
Talk about anxiety. He was literally sweating out blood. If that's not anxiety, I don't know what is. And he is the creator of the universe. He's the son of God.
Right.
And yet it's just as hard as it is to read about what Jesus went through. He's the perfect example for us.
Yes.
He's the perfect example. And I just believe that so many of the human experiences we saw Jesus go through in scripture and so many of his most vulnerable moments are him looking at us and saying, I experienced this too.
Right.
I know how you feel. I know where you are because I endured that pain too.
Well, and he did. I mean, that's the reality is, and this is very, you know, we're going a little deep here, but the reality is that when Jesus was on the cross, he took upon himself all of it.
Right.
All sin, all shame, all depression, all anxiety, every single thing, every single hurt, every single heartbreak, every single disease, sickness, everything. He took upon himself everything that humanity went through, would go through, and it was nailed to Jesus on the cross. So did he feel the full weight of all of that? Absolutely. Can we understand or even come close to comprehending what that must have been like in the flesh as a human, as well as divine and God? Absolutely not. There is no possible way we can fathom that, nor will we ever, because Jesus did that for us.
Right.
You know, so he took that on himself so that we would never, ever have to experience that. And I know there's so much we're going to share, but in him saying it's finished, everything was finished at the cross. Like everything that Jesus needed to do on our behalf was finished. And he said so. So there's so much to unpack there. And I don't want to dive too deep into all of that right from the get-go. But this is such a good question. How do I climb out of the lows that come with depression and anxiety? I think that there is so much that we can share here today. But I want to start with the basics.
Right.
You know, I always talk about this, like, I need to go back to the basics. Like, literally, sometimes I tell myself, wait a minute, who brought the sun out? Who brings the stars out by night and the moon? Who gives us the breath of life? Well, only God can do that. Literally, he holds it all together, the earth, everything. And so he's holding me together as well. So I need to literally go back to the basics, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God in every scenario. He is the Alpha and the Omega. So he is not only just the beginning, he is also the end of everything, everything we walk through. So he knows the beginning of walking through the valley, and he knows when it's going to end and that we're going to walk out. And that's so encouraging to me. But anyway, the basics. So in my mind, the basics are broken down into physical care, emotional self-care, spiritual self-care, and relational self-care. And to categorize these in this way makes it easier for me, right? So physical self-care is obvious. In many ways, it's obvious. Your sleep, your nutrition, your hydration, breathing, exercise, medication if needed. You know, these are basic human needs. And that's why I wanted to start with the basics, because your physical care while you're in this climbing out phase of depression and anxiety is important every day, but it's vital when you're in the midst of depression and anxiety.
Which is why we've said many times that your mental health is just as important as your physical health.
Right.
Because they go hand in hand. The truth is when we're talking about physical, emotional, spiritual, relational self-care, they all go together. If you're missing one of those pieces, the other one's going to suffer. If you're missing physical self-care, your emotional self-care is going to suffer.
Right.
If you're missing emotional self-care, your spiritual self-care is going to suffer. So I think all four of these things really go hand in hand. And when we are taking care of all of them, and not that we're going to do it perfectly, and not that all of these self-care categories can be perfect, but if we're working towards each of these, if we're prioritizing self-care in these areas, I do believe that it impacts our mental health, especially when we are in the pit.
Right. And did I say hydration?
Of course you said hydration. So she always says hydration. If you listened, if you follow her on Instagram, she's been influencing hydration. And also if you've listened to a lot of our episodes, she talks a lot about hydration.
Well, what do I say?
Well, water with electrolytes. You got to have the electrolytes in there. This is something she says all the time. And you know what? We're together every single day. So she also says this to me on a daily basis. But it is a good reminder. You need to be hydrated.
Well, and it's not just water, like you said, with electrolytes. And it's important. I've learned that.
It tastes good too.
Right. But I've actually learned that. Like, I did not know that until I went through my most recent season of depression and anxiety, which was almost 3 years ago now. I mean, hydration wasn't a thing. I mean,
right. It's not like you thought that that would impact your mental health.
I did not.
But your
mental
health leads to dehydration.
Exactly. And that's something I don't think people realize, that
right.
When you are going through a season of anxiety and depression, it will deplete your nutrients and it depletes mm-hmm. your body and you need extra hydration.
Yeah.
And like, I didn't know that, but now I know that. So I continue to keep up with that.
Right.
Also sleep. We all know sleep is vital. But I will tell you now, and this is just evidence of healing in my life, I used to need more help with sleep. Mm-hmm. When I was in the dark pit, when I was climbing out that season, I needed more help with sleep. And I'll be honest, like, I still need help with sleep, but I do not need as much help, which is, to me, evidence of healing. It's encouraging to know, okay, well, I don't need that much L-theanine at night anymore. And I don't need my sleep gummies every night, you know? I mean, but there is a season, or was a season for me, and might be for you right now, where sleep has to be a priority. So whatever it takes for you to get days of sleep, you need to. That I don't mean sleeping all day, sleeping at night. Which leads me to the next basic component, you know, emotional self-care. And that is, wow, there's a lot to that. And we don't have a lot of time to unpack all of that. But, you know, even just getting out of bed for me is huge. Just getting out of bed in the morning and not staying in bed and dwelling on what I'm thinking about and ruminating over. You know, counseling, do what you love, use your talents and gifts, guard your heart and mind, limit social media. We talk about this, but how often do we do it, Erin? Okay.
Guilty.
Exactly. Be creative, cry, laugh, free your emotions, feel them, don't dwell in them. Eliminate the ants. I love this. Dr. Amen, shout out to him. He's someone that I really appreciate and who has helped me along my journey with depression and anxiety. If you're not familiar with him, I can definitely suggest that you would follow him on his social media. But he talks about automatic negative thoughts and just how to battle them and get rid of them. And just like, don't believe everything you think.
Right.
Because we start to ruminate and think of, you know, we have this negative thought and then it goes down to worst case scenario. I mean, I am famous for worst case scenario in my head.
Yeah.
My brain knows me for worst case scenario.
I must have gotten that from you then.
I'm so sorry. I don't want you to have that anymore. Okay. It stops now. Yes. No more. Okay.
I love everything you said about emotional self-care. And this is really a person-by-person basis. So if you're listening, you know what brings you joy, what brings you life, what you love to do, and what you're talented in. So we just encourage you to do the things that bring you emotional care. The next one, spiritual self-care. Pray, talk to God, listen to worship music, spend time in God's word. Fill your mind with the truth. Spend time with people who love God. When you're going through a season of depression and anxiety, you need people who love God and are willing to pour the truth of God's word into your life. And I know personally for me, when I was just really battling anxiety, it was hard for me to know what was true and what was a lie. And anxiety has this way of, one, causing you to fear what you always believed to be true and to twist the truth or twist the lies to seem true in the moment. And so it's really important to have someone outside who's not in the pit with you to be like, no, this is what's true based on God's word. Right. This is what's true about you. This is what God says about you. This is what I see in you. Right. People that are going to encourage you and so that you can really hold on to their faith. That's something I had to do for years, honestly, was to allow other people to hold my faith for me. I clung on to their faith and believed in them when I didn't believe what God's word said. I believed what they said based on God's word. Right. And that was the season I was in. And I am so thankful that God brought those people into my life that I could truthfully rely on their faith. And speaking of that, relational self-care, the relationships that you have are so important. Surround yourself with safe and trustworthy people and seek godly counsel. And a huge one, set healthy boundaries. This is so important when you are in the valley, when you are struggling. There are going to be certain people that may have been in your life before that you're going to need to set boundaries with.
Right.
People that maybe aren't good for your mental health in this season. People that, for example, maybe you were partying with people and now is the time where you have to step away from that for your own mental health, physical health. And if you have to do that, that's okay. And your true, safe, and trustworthy people, they're going to understand. If you need to step away from whatever scene you were in before, if you need to change the things that you were doing.
Right.
And I do believe that God brings the people in your life that you need in the season you need them.
Amen. And those were the basics. You know, like I said, we started with the basics: physical self-care, emotional self-care, spiritual self-care, relational self-care. And that leads us into the second one, which is remembering to communicate and to be in community. Talk about all of the conclusions your brain is coming to. Flush it all out. Bring everything into the light. Bring everything that's in the pit of darkness with you. Bring it all into the light. Share it all with someone who you can talk through that with. Even if your community is just one person that you trust. I remember my counselor at the time, she's like, I am your community right now. And that was so helpful to me because when you hear the word community, you think of, you know, like a group of people, which it very much is. But sometimes that group, that community has to be one person.
Right.
For however long in your season. Now my community has expanded, but it's still community. One person can still be your community. And it's so important to invite people in, which is so hard.
It's so hard when you're in it to invite anyone in. What I struggled with in terms of letting people in was that I didn't want to hurt them. Uh-huh. I felt like my pain was a burden to them. But I'm so thankful that those people were like, Aaron, I love you. I'm in this with you. I'm not going anywhere. Right. You're not a burden. And it's just so, so important that you don't keep your pain to yourself. That's why God gives us community. That's why he gives us people. He talks in his word plenty of times about how important community is. I mean, think about Jesus. He surrounded himself with people, his disciples. He needed people. When he went to the Garden of Gethsemane before he went to the cross, who did he bring with him? Three of his closest friends.
Right.
We need community. And we have said this before. I know we did an entire episode on it. You can't heal in hiding and you can't heal in isolation.
That's
right. So don't hide what you're going through because the more you hide, the more you're going to hurt. And the more isolated you
say
are.
That. I just need you to say those, all of that. Yeah, just one more time.
Let me keep going.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, but it is so powerful. Can you just please say all of that one more time?
You can't heal in hiding. The more you hide, the more you're going to hurt. It's true. Right. I've experienced it. Trust me when I say the more you hide, the more you're going to hurt. And isolation will only cause you to feel more alone in your pain.
Right.
You're not alone. And when you feel like you're isolated, that's the most lonely place to be, which makes you feel more depressed and more anxious. So remember to communicate in community.
Amen. And number three, this is what I wrote down. I'm about to go off because you know I love to talk about remembering who God is and who you are. He is God. He is the only one who can bring the sun out by day and the moon and stars by night. And he even calls the stars out by name. He knows the number of hairs on your head, or the lack thereof. He knows the number of hairs on your head and every grain of sand on every seashore. He's the only one who holds the universe together and holds your life together. He is God. He is faithful. He is beyond our comprehension, yet he is so intimate and knows everything about you. He knows every word before it's spoken. He is a relationship-oriented God. He is loving, kind, patient, faithful, gracious, and good all the time. He loves, forgives, heals, saves, redeems, restores. He gives sight to the blind. He sets the captives free. He resurrects the dead and makes all things new. He never changes. He fights for you. Exodus 14, 14, Aaron. Wait, don't you have a tattoo?
I do.
What does it say?
It says 14, 14, and it is my reminder of that verse. The Lord fights for you. Yes.
That's the one on your hand.
The Lord fights for you. You need only to be still.
He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13, 8. He's eternal, all-powerful, all-knowing. He knows everything about you and loves you anyway, no matter what. He knows exactly what you need and promises to supply all of your needs according to his riches in Christ. Philippians 4:19. There is so much. Number three, remembering who God is and who you are might not change your circumstances, but it will change how you see your circumstance. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. Also, I love what you said about how God numbers the hairs on our head and calls each star by name. Don't you think that if God is going to put that much detail in knowing you and knowing the stars in the sky, if he pays attention to that much detail, don't you think that he's in charge of the big things in your life?
That's right.
The huge depression that you're going through and anxiety that you're going through. If he numbers the hairs on your head, if he can call the stars out by name, you can bet on and bank on the fact that he knows exactly what you're going through in this moment. And he's there. He's with you. He knows the exact number of days that you'll be in this valley. He knows exactly what you need in the valley, and he will supply it for you. So you can trust him. Remember who he is, and you'll be able to know who you are. You are chosen. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are loved. You are seen, heard, and known. You are forgiven. You are free. You are more than a conqueror. You need to anchor yourself in the truth of who God is and who he says you are.
Period.
End of story. It really does. When you know these truths, it changes everything.
And this, you know, what we just shared is just literally a drop in the bucket of the magnitude and the magnificence of who God is and ultimately who we are in Christ.
Right.
And so when you take the time to, and I did that actually, this last season that I walked through, I did that. I started a journal of, and I titled it Things That I Know to Be True About Who God Is. And so I started off rattling, you know, writing all the things down that I knew. And then I started to read his word and find even more. I mean, I was already reading his word, but I started to, you know, pull more from scripture and put it in this journal. And then what I did was every night before I went to sleep, I opened that journal and I read those truths out loud. And I probably sound like a broken record, but I say this all the time, speak the truth out loud. There is so much value in the truth being spoken out loud. And I know, Aaron, you know what I say, speak the truth out loud so it goes out of your mouth and into your ears so your mind can receive it and your heart can receive it. But I believe it's true. It's true. The spoken word of God is powerful and life-changing.
You do say that a lot, Mom, but I know that it's true. For a while I was like, Mom, I'm not doing that. But once I started to do it, I realized how powerful speaking the truth out loud is. Let's move on to the next one. Number four, remember what God has already done.
You say this a lot. I love this when you say it.
I do say this a lot. Remember what God has already done. Remember where he's been faithful to you, even when you doubted and questioned him. Acknowledge that there have been battles he has carried you through that you know nothing about. He's been there with you through every high, every low, in the pit and on the mountaintop. Remember what he has done. Look for evidence of healing. Yes, Mom, we have said this before, and it's something that our counselor has said to us, is to look for evidence of healing. Sometimes when you're in the valley, you cannot see past the valley.
Right.
You really can't. But if you can just find a sliver of healing that has happened.
And let someone speak that into your life.
Right, which goes back to why it's so important to be a part of community.
Right.
Is that they can help you see that there is evidence of healing. That is one of the reasons why I am so thankful for my counselor, is that she does that. She shows me that there is evidence of healing. When I'm saying to her, like, "What? I haven't come that far. Like, I'm still struggling." And she'll be like, "Erin, do you remember where you were? Do you remember what God has brought you through?
Right.
You are not where you were. There is so much evidence of healing." And when someone else talks about how they've seen healing in you, it helps you to see it in yourself too. Right. And realize how far God has brought you. And when I say to remember what God has already done, I'm not saying to look at the past and dwell on it.
No.
I'm saying to look at God.
Right.
And what he has done. And when you focus on God, you won't focus on where you were, you'll focus on where he was with you, where you were. And that really changes how you see your circumstance now and how you see it in the past. And knowing that if there's already been evidence of healing, more healing is coming.
Yes. Amen. And that reminds me of something that you have shared. I believe it was one episode. In fact, you did a whole episode on allowing others to be your vision until yours comes back into focus. And that goes right along with what you're saying here, is like, you know, regarding your counselor telling you, "Erin, I've seen evidence, so much evidence of healing," and to allow her vision, you know, to be what you see until you can fully see again.
Well, that what I said and what that episode was on was based on something you said to me, Mom. You text me.
I said,
yes, I really remember you text me and you said, "Let me be your vision until yours comes back into focus." Those were your words that you said to me. And
I'm kind of like, wow.
Well, I mean, you are a writer, so your words are pretty powerful. But I will never forget that, because you were that vision for me. I needed you to be that vision for me. And I think that we were both that vision for each other for a while, even though when you were going through your season of depression, I was also in my season of depression. But I do believe that God used us both to help each other see and encourage each other.
And I pray that that's what we are to you if you're listening right now. And in fact, you're the one who sent in the question, "How do I climb out of the pit? The low lows, how do I climb out of the lows that come with depression?" I hope that we can be your vision right now through what we're sharing until yours comes back into focus. And I just want to say, yours will come back into focus. You will not stay in the valley. You will not stay in the pit. You are climbing out and you are healing, even though you can't see it, even though you can't feel it. It's the reality that God is in the midst of it with you and you're not alone, but that he is also healing you in the midst of what you can't see. And we're walking by faith and not by sight. And yes, does God give us more than we can handle? Absolutely. But he never, ever will give you more than he can handle. Ooh, that's another one.
That's a whole episode.
That's a whole episode.
If you go back and listen, it's a whole episode. But what you said leads into the next one. Remember, you are not alone. Deuteronomy 31:8, I love this verse. The Lord himself goes before you and is with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. And now when the scripture says, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, God puts that in his word because he knows you're going to be afraid.
Right.
He knows you're going to be discouraged.
Right.
And yet he fills the same verse with a reminder that he goes before you and he's with you and he's not going to leave you and he's not going to forsake you.
He already was in the pit before you got there.
Ooh.
Oh, whoa. Ooh. Wait a minute. What?
Ooh.
If he goes before you,
yeah,
he already knows. is already in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I never thought about that.
Neither did I. It just happened right now.
Well, that's some encouragement for me today. Wow.
He goes before you and will be with you. He will never, when God uses the word never and always, I perk up. Like, I'm like, oh, I need to know that you will never, 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 never leave you. He's the only one that can say that. In fact,
you say that. I was literally going to say that you say this to us a lot when me or Cam or Dad, whatever, will be like, you always, or this is always, you never. You're like, you can't say that. Only God can say that. And I'm like, okay, you just Jesus juked me big time. Okay, I know I can't say never, always. Fine.
But he's the only one that can, and he does. So right. When he does say never and he does say always.
You can bank on that.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And let's move on to the next one. Remember, if you're not noticing, by the way, so far, there is a theme. The word is remember. And we will repeat all of these again, because I am a creature of repetition. I need to hear things over and over again. But number six, let's move on to remember. Oh, and this one's so, so good. There's a point in all of this. In all that you're going through, there's always a point to everything that God allows you to go through in this life. There is a point to the pit. There is a point to climbing out. And what is the point? Jesus is the point. The point is to point to him in the midst of it. And I'm telling you, when we point to him in the midst of whatever it is that we're going through, the highs, the lows, the valleys, the pits, the mountain peaks, when we focus on him, because he is the point, we focus on him instead of the pit.
Yeah. Truthfully, in my own story, in my own life, yes, I pointed to God before I went through the pit, but I point to Jesus totally differently now that I've been in the pit, because I know that he was the one that got me out of the pit. There is something powerful about a testimony of someone that can say, I was in the pit, but I can point to Jesus because he's the one that got me out of it.
Yes.
He's the one that walked through it with me. Jesus is the point. Like you said before, he's the point, and the point of our lives is to point to him. So if you're in the pit and you feel like you can't point to Jesus right now, it's okay. He's still the point.
Right.
But there will come a day, I believe I've seen it in my own life, where you will walk out of that low, that pit, and you will be able to say that Jesus was the point then. He's the point in the midst of my pain. He's the point in the midst of my joy. He's always the point. And when you go through deep pain and you know that Jesus brought you out of it, you don't want to point to anything other than him.
Oh, that's so awesome. And so, when we make it about him instead of the pit, we focus on the point instead of the pit.
Right.
We thank Jesus. This is Jesus. The fact that we can thank him for being in the pit with us and bringing us out one moment at a time and one prayer at a time. We worship him through reading his word and listening to music, and we focus on what he did. That's what we do in the pit. He's the point. So we focus on what Jesus did. He is the example, right? And when he was in the pit of his own despair in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was, as you mentioned, sweating drops of blood, and he asked the Father if the cup could be taken from him, yet not my will, Father, but yours be done. When Jesus was in the pit, he looked to the Father and he prayed for his will and he obeyed. And what does that look like for us? We pray and look to Jesus and seek God's will and trust that he will bring us out of the darkness into his marvelous light. The Father didn't leave Jesus in the pit on the cross. Right. We all know that he did not leave him there. He will not leave us in the pit. We cannot stress that enough. After he went to the cross and he said it was finished, everything, as we have mentioned before, like everything that needed to be done was complete. It was finished. Everything that you need in your pit, he has already given you, because he's given you himself.
Right.
His finished work covers you in the pit and helps you climb out of it as well. And because of what Jesus did for you, you have access to everything you need for life and godliness. And that includes everything you need for climbing out of the lowest lows. You already have it.
Mm. Amen. Wow.
I could sit. Wow. See, that's, you know, and that's a saying that grandma has, like, God gave her that understanding and knowledge and wisdom. I don't know how many years ago at this point, but she has been saying that often the last however many years, like, you already have it. And she's right.
Right.
We already have everything we need in Christ right now. If you're in the pit, you have what you need. If you're climbing out, you have what you need. If you're going through the darkest of dark, you have what you need. If you're on the mountain peak, praise the Lord, you have what you need, but praise him in the pit too.
Right. I love that grandma says that, and it's something that's really impacted my life as well, that you already have it because you have Jesus and he's given you all you need. The last one, number 7, remember that this will not last forever. This is not the end of your story. You will come out of the pit. You will come out of the pit. The storm will end, the darkness will lift, and there will be light again. He's not done with you. In fact, he's never done with you.
Great. That's another grandma. We got to give a shout out to grandma.
If you take your last breath here on earth, you're in eternity. So God's still not done with you. But your life here, your testimony here, your story here is not done. And when God's done with you on earth, he's ready for you in heaven.
Amen.
And so your life with him and the plans he has for you are eternal. You can trust that. You can believe that. And when I was really struggling, I need to be reminded that my story wasn't over, that God had a plan and a purpose for me here on this earth and that it wouldn't last forever. I needed people, going back to community, I needed people to come around me and tell me that this won't last forever, that this, the darkness will lift, that light will come into your life again. You will not stay in the valley forever. And that goes back to Psalm 23. You walk through the valley. Yeah. God's walking through the valley with you. I love that we're ending with that one, because it's so important. And really, it's the anchor too, knowing that your story isn't over and that God has a purpose for your life. So I love everything we've talked about. These are so powerful. And I know that I have been so encouraged by this conversation. So thank you to the person that shared this with us. There was a quote that I wanted to share that I feel like kind of sums up everything that we're talking about. And also just is so encouraging to me. And it's by Anne Voskamp. She says, "What if the question is never, what's the way out of this? But what way can I be in this? The way through happens wherever we stop focusing on how to get out of something and focus on what we can get out of this to become Christ-like. What way can I be in this? What can I get out of this pit to become more like Christ?" Ultimately, so that is my heart's desire, is that when I am in the valley, when I am in the low of the low of depression and anxiety, that I gain more of Jesus as a result.
And you will.
Yes. And I believe that for every single person that's listening, that you, if you are trying to climb out of the pit, just know that God's in it with you. He's in the low with you and he meets you right where you are and that he will draw near to you. So Mom, before we wrap up, let's just reiterate all of these that we've talked about.
Yes. So remember is the key word in all that we have shared. Remember the basics. Remember to communicate in community. Remember who God is and who you are. Remember what God has already done. Look for evidence of healing. Remember that you are not alone. Remember that there is a point to all of this. And the last one, which I love so much, remember, this will not last forever. Your story is not over. You will come out of the pit.
Amen. Amen. I love this so much. This has been so encouraging. I hope.
So encouraging. I'm going to be listening to this one. I'll probably listen to this one at least a dozen times.
Oh, definitely. Because the truth is when we share, this is what I love about this podcast. When we share, when we answer the question that you've given us, when you share your heart with us and we respond, we are encouraged.
Oh my goodness.
We have asked these same questions before. We've been in the lowest of the low. And this encourages us just as much as we hope it encourages you as well.
And we need to hear it.
Right, right.
We need to hear these truths.
Speaking the truth
out loud.
Period. Mom, will you pray for us?
Heavenly Father, thank you so, so much. Thank you so much for the opportunity to share how good you are and to talk about who you are and who we are as a result of who you are, Lord, and all that you have done, and that you're the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You're sovereign, you're all powerful, you're all knowing, you're good, you're kind, you're faithful. Lord, you know I could go on. And we are just so blessed by who you are, and that no matter where we are in this journey of life, whether we are in the lowest of lows or the highest of highs, Lord, you are right there with us, and that you go before us, that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And Lord, so I just pray that we would remember who you are and all that we have shared on this podcast, but ultimately that this is not the end of the story and that there is more to come. And we are closer every single day to all the more that you have prepared for us. And it is immeasurably more than all we could ever ask or imagine. In Jesus' name, amen.